This is the Dave Glover Show with Dave, Rachel, and Kevin. Sponsored by Michael's Flooring Outlet, the flooring experts. IGotFloor.com.
Good afternoon, St. Louis, DGS on KMOX. Happy Tuesday to you. Going to be a gloomy day today. Tomorrow's going to be beautiful, evidently, and then a couple more days of this. Lots of rain. Starting off the show, appropriately, we have the gloomy mood, sad news for the show. So a couple weeks ago, maybe at the very most, Andrew let us know that his mom was not doing well. She had had some troubles and pneumonia, and it had gotten worse. And she was in the hospital, and then she was in the ICU. And then last Friday, she passed away. She's only like 64 years old. So tonight, Rach and Wheeler and I will leave at 4. Hancock and Kelly will come in and take our place. We're going to go over to the funeral and the wake and stuff. But we just hadn't said anything because it was happening in real time, and it's Andrew. So
fast.
Keep him in your thoughts.
Yeah. Yes, please.
Yeah. Yeah, not that I'm wishing my mom away, but, you know, she's 97 and ready, and here's Andrew's mom, a couple years older than me.
Man, I didn't even think it that way, but yeah.
Yeah.
That is nuts.
Tough.
And it's also just, there's no better or worse, but man, so fast.
So fast.
Like, you don't have time to prepare your mind, you know, you don't have time to go through the process of knowing something's going to happen. It just happened,
yeah.
You know, within a day or two. Like, it turned that fast.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no good,
no.
Right?
Oh, there isn't.
No, there isn't.
I don't even know if it's good to know that it's happening.
No, that's what I mean. I don't know.
It just feels like I don't know. It just feels like a slow movement toward it, and then you spend however many months and years knowing it's coming, and it just, I mean, there's, like you said, there's just no good way for it to happen. Suddenly, prolonged, none of it's good.
And you know, it's such a cliche, you never know when it's going to be. I stress 24 hours a day about having the genes that I do, like you're going to live to be 110, and you know, you just can't make enough money to save enough to, you know, put it away, and you don't want to be a burden to your kids, and then you know, you die in a car accident on the way home. You just don't know. But you're not used to that. You're not used to people just getting sick, going to a hospital, and not coming out. Not when they're that age.
No, and not in that time frame.
No.
Right?
No. Really tough. So keep them in your thoughts. Yeah. So you got some extra sleep today?
Wow. So you guys don't know this, but I woke up and I texted Dave and Rach, because normally alarm is set, maybe it's a little before 9. Usually 9 is kind of like the sweet spot because we get in here around 11. I woke up at 10.
Now listen,
I woke up
lived a lifetime
on my own at 10:15. My alarm was going off and there was no noise.
Oh.
My alarm went off silently today, and that has never happened to me before. And thank God I don't have to be at work like at a normal time. Thank God it didn't happen this weekend when I'm coaching baseball. And I got to be at the field at 8:00 in the morning. And then they were like, where's coach? What's going on? And then people are calling the hotel. Hey, check his room. Make sure he's okay. Because I don't understand how that happens when you don't change anything on the phone.
Then who knows what they'd walk in on.
Me just going. Me snoozing and snoring.
We found coach and he's not okay.
Well, I mean, that's generally true anyway. But
that is the worst feeling. If I have to wake up super early for
super early.
I know.
You got to get up at 2?
Yeah, it was mainly only when I've done like the sports reports, right? Because I'm used to waking up early to run anyway, so I'll set 1 or 2 alarms if I have to wake up at 4:30 or 5. But if I did the sports reports years ago and it would be like 3:30 in the morning, I think I set 12 alarms. Every minute. I was so terrified that I would oversleep.
I set 2 different on my phone and then 1 on a different thing.
Wow.
Just in case the phone fails.
Now I'm going
to
have the backup, because Rachel sent me an article from The Guardian from earlier this month that this apparently is happening with iPhones.
Oh, that's a horrible
stupid
thing
iPhone
to happen.
Just happening, and I didn't know it was happening, and apparently these other people are like, Apple, are you trying to get people fired?
Green bubble doesn't sound so bad now, does it?
Yeah,
I'd
I guess.
I'd rather lose my job.
It's just a glitch?
I guess.
Yeah, a bunch of people were reporting it on TikTok. And so Apple is saying they're working on the issue, but I don't think that they have a solution just yet.
Yeah, I've done it like the whole day. I've been setting alarms every so often just to test if it'll go off. And it's been going off since.
Hmm. Is it a good enough defense that, hey, Apple's phone glitched?
Boy.
And it's a problem around the country. So, hey, don't fire me.
That's a good question.
I don't know.
Is it ever okay to be late? Or should you, like, I just am not. I'm compulsively early.
Yeah.
And usually by an uncomfortable amount. Like, if I have a 10 o'clock appointment, I'll be sitting in the parking lot at 20 till.
Wow.
Yeah.
Easy.
Wow.
Because I was always just taught, like, well, you allow for a flat tire. You allow for an accident. You know, you leave an hour early no matter what. Is that the standard? Or is it, hey, I ran into trouble?
Well, I mean, I think that, like, just using my own example, I give myself two and a half hours before I need to be anywhere is when I get up. It only takes me a half an hour to get showered and get out of the house. It doesn't take me forever. I mean, it's not that difficult. But when I think my wife made a good point this morning. She's like, man, you know, when you think about the advancements in technology are great and you rely on them. And then when they do falter, you're like, oh, well, I'm hosed. And again, at least I have that buffer today. You know, the show doesn't start till 1. It's not the end of the world if I show up at 11:30.
You need to get yourself one of those old-fashioned
that's what I'm doing.
Clock radios.
We have one sitting somewhere. I'm just going to pull it out of the closet in the basement and set it up.
The one with the looks like fake wood?
Yeah.
I don't have one of those.
I think I still have mine somewhere in a box.
The snooze button?
Yeah.
No, mine's,
but I am the best.
That's what I use for my clock. It's next to my bed. Yeah.
It's so great.
Yeah,
I have one of the digital. It'll be a digital one, but I'm going to get the one that has the battery in it so you have the backup in case the power goes out.
Oh, there you go. That's a very good idea.
Because in Home Alone, the power went out.
I know.
That's why they were late.
Yeah. I had a moment. Maybe I told you guys about this. I had a show years ago that started at 10:30, and I usually didn't wake up. I didn't have to do early shows, like, hardly ever. So I'm used to being up late, used to getting up late, all that. But this one day, I wake up at 7 because I've got the 10:30 show, and I think, I can do another half hour. So I go back to sleep. Show's at 10:30. My next time I woke up, 10:26. And I wasn't anywhere near the building.
Ooh.
I thought I was going to get fired then. I didn't, but that one was bad. That was like a,
so what time
oh
did
my
you
God.
Get to the studio?
Oh, probably, somehow I made it by like 10:38.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Yeah. I had a close call like that back in the
I did not shower.
Sports radio days. When I was doing overnights, I had a close call. Like, I just accidentally fell asleep. And I made it, but I made it by 1 minute. Like, the music was playing for the show to start as I walked in the door of the building. And from that point on, I told my producer, if you don't see me before 30 minutes before the show, you
check
call
me.
Just call me because that means I can get there in less than that, which is the point. It never happened again, though, because then I got paranoid.
Rach, you think if you had kept doing mornings like what you started as an intern, you'd look 45 right now?
Probably. That was not good for me. I think that's what started my sleep problems is because I was so terrified of the alarm not going off or me not waking up for my alarm that I would just be like so wired all night that I couldn't fall asleep.
And you were living in Grafton, right?
Yeah. There was one time I took a sleeping pill and I had never taken one before. And I woke up at like 2 a.m. because that's how early I had to get up to, you know, drive the hour and 15 minutes to get downtown. And it made me so sick that I had to call in sick. Like, there was just something wrong. It was just off. I shouldn't have taken it. But that was like a nightmare scenario of like, oh, I'm not going to make it into work because of this like weird sleep thing.
Are you guys sleeping pill guys?
Mm-mm.
I think I tried melatonin once and like, this isn't doing anything. But no actual, maybe like a NyQuil.
See, I
just
can't
to just
take,
to try and sleep, that doesn't do anything for me.
See, I can't even take NyQuil. If I take NyQuil and if I'm sick, I'll take it like at 7 p.m. I can't get out of bed. I can't function until after 10 a.m. It doesn't matter how early. It's like the world spins, and I hate it so much that it doesn't matter how sick I am, I won't take NyQuil. Hmm. My whole world just spins, and I cannot function for way too long.
Yeah, the only time I take anything to try to sleep is when I have to be up extra early for some reason. Like, say my alarm needs to go at 6, so I want to get to sleep by 11 or 12. I have to take something to fall asleep that early.
I'm on a concoction of Red Bull and NyQuil right now.
Oh.
So,
no.
Right now?
Man, you
look
know,
out.
Keeps you should keep each other. That's the wrong
which one's
quill.
Winning?
Yeah.
Well, and that's
I think the Red Bull's
quill.
Winning now.
You should be on the day quill.
My sister wanted afternoon quills. She thought they should like make the quills a little bit more specific.
I like your sister. Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah. Lunch quill.
1 p.m. quill.
1 p.m. quill.
Yeah, I take something every night. And yeah. if I'm out, I just panic. My sleep problems go all the way back. Mm. Yeah, just terrible. Can I complain about McDonald's?
Yes, yeah. Please.
My mom said that she'd like a filet of fish, so I went by and just got a filet of fish meal. That was it, and it was just under $14.
No, it was
get
not.
Out for yeah. what medium size?
Yeah,
or was it
medium size?
A large?
No, my mom doesn't eat large.
Oh, that's
anything.
A good point.
And then I saw last night that McDonald's has lost like 30% of its sales over the last quarter. And so they're coming back with a $5 value menu, which as Rach pointed out. Well, thanks for letting us know that you could have done it the entire time.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Yeah.
They took advantage like a lot of these other places did.
Till you get punched in the face.
Do we hold grudges or are we so busy with everything else they know that we're not going to?
They know we won't.
Yeah, I think that's why they do those things.
Because it would inconvenience us. We don't like to deny ourselves.
You're
we
right.
like to be mad and complain, but we don't like to deny ourselves.
Right.
Well, the truth is so many of those places are doing the same thing anyway. Like which one has not done this, has not raised their prices?
Oh, sorry, the supply chain's really... No, it isn't. You don't have to charge what you're charging. You're doing it because you know you can get away with it and you can blame the pandemic for it.
We don't know.
And inflation.
We probably never will know what led to all of this and the inflation and such. But I've come down on the side that I think that most of it was corporate greed.
I totally agree.
It's not a coincidence that when you and it's more. You're right. It's so many things. It's more than one. It's probably 10, 12 things. But one thing that did not change during that time, we all got punched in the face, but profits went up.
Yeah.
Profits went up, and the richest people got richer.
If profits had stayed steady, then I would say, well, they raised costs proportionally to what they needed to maintain their profit.
That's right.
But they exploded. So there's only one answer. They did it because they knew they can get away with it.
Yeah, they had cover.
Yeah, I think right out of the pandemic and during it, there really were supply chain issues.
Yeah, sure.
That was the catalyst for driving up the prices. But those supply chain issues, all of that... That faded away, but once you get used to those high prices, hey, these guys will pay $14 for a Filet-O-Fish.
And people are still spending. Everybody complains about how bad the economy is, but we're still spending. Americans are still spending a lot of money. And when you're still spending, there's no incentive for companies to say, well, maybe we should lower prices.
Yeah.
The only way they do it is if you stop going and stop patronizing them. And then when you do that, then they go, well, how do we get people back? Oh, I know. Maybe this $14 meal should be more like $9 or $10.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because then you have too, you have the doofuses that are on TikTok and other places spreading the it's cheaper to eat out than it is to go. Like, you know, so for what you said, just under $14, you can go buy a box of 6 fish fillets at the grocery store for probably $7, a whole bag of buns for $3, and a 6-pack of bottles of whatever drink you want to have, and it'll be that. And your people are out there saying, so it's just cheaper to eat out. No, it's not. It is absolutely not. And it's very easily provable.
Almost 3 rotisserie chickens.
Mm. There you go.
That's a deal. That is the best buy in America.
You could go to Costco and get 3 rotisserie
that's
chickens
insane.
For the cost of that. Well, close to it.
See how he just got just then about fish filet?
Yeah.
He was 100 times that yesterday arguing with Skip Weber. One of the number one clients to Odyssey and one of my biggest clients. And I'm like... Well, you let the man win this argument. They're arguing about the Cardinals, and he is like holding Skip down and doing the thing where you let your spit drip.
Oh, yeah.
It was
I'm
so
like,
loud. Hey,
what are we not getting about the dynamic here?
Hey, my favorite thing about Skip is he likes to fight.
Does he?
He likes that. We were having fun.
Okay.
You two were having fun. Yeah. Me and Dave were over here.
No,
like,
Rach was over
God.
In the corner me going, guys,
so
please
much.
Shut up. Please shut up. Please shut up.
After a while, it became just a droning sound. It was two deep voice guys like just going like.
It's like that real loud air conditioner outside our window. Yeah.
You know, at least when it's me and Andrew, there's a contrast. He goes higher, and then I stay low, and then Skip and I just.
No, this was just like. two bull rhinos.
It's like that sound in the War of the Worlds when the army is coming.
Was it like watching those like two moose fight?
Yeah, kind of.
Like, how is this? They're tearing up cars.
I got Wheeler down, though. I've watched him debate so many times. Wheeler's the king of, oh, so I guess what you're saying is.
Dave kept going, oh, this is what he does. This is what he does.
It's what he does. Oh, so guess what you're saying is.
Yeah. I got more of those, too.
When he said he wanted to debate Trump and, like, meant it.
Oh, that was the best.
No,
nah! He meant
that
it.
That was the best.
Well, first of all, it's not like he ever talks policy. Right?
First, and
by the way, well, it just means I don't have to know anything. By the way, Brett Baer proved me right. Because Brett Baer stood up to him and didn't let him do his nonsense, and Trump went, gah.
Oh, I would pay to see it. I'd pay to see it.
Wouldn't it feel like overkill if
so Brett Baer is my guy for that.
If Wheeler debated Biden,
that would be dumb. No. It's just anybody could.
Watching someone beat a puppy.
Yeah, like literally anybody can do that one. It's about talking over the loud person, and I have the loud skill.
Look, Jack.
So what you're saying?
So what you're saying is
what? Oh, so what you're saying is?
He's like, I guess, man. I don't even know anymore. I don't care. Yeah. You just lose interest. Debating Kevin. The end of a debate with Kevin is you just have to lose interest.
You know, you have to leave.
That's how it's
the
over.
Room.
Start taking a nap.
Yeah.
There are people that have won those things.
Really?
Yeah.
You admit it?
Yeah. Wow.
Mrs. Wheeler.
One.
He doesn't do that with Mrs. Wheeler.
No, we don't fight. I don't argue with her.
Yeah, that's a good move.
No.
Was that intentional? Because you have to control it. You're like David Banner or Bruce Banner turning into the Hulk.
To a degree, but with it, there's the things that I argue about she doesn't care about.
Yeah, but you argue about things that everything.
So you would argue with her.
I don't know. I mean, it's never really, honest to God, that's really never come up.
You're more like
it.
The Mark Ruffalo Hulk. You have a handle on it.
Kind of, a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you argue in front of her?
Yeah, she hates that.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I appreciate your honesty. Because had you said she loves it, I'd been
No. I usually get
Mama not telling the whole truth.
So I'll paint you a quick picture. This is a 10-second picture. I'll be doing that. It would be me and my brother arguing, or me and my dad arguing about some dumb thing, but we go the same, because we're all the same. And I'll be holding my phone. I'll get a text. Stop it. Oh, yes. Okay. All right. Final exit route.
Rach gets those. They're mostly this face when you're doing it.
I wish people could have seen that
face. So, Skip Weber, what you're saying is, he pays many thousands of dollars to be here, so.
He doesn't want me to say you're right, sir.
No, no one wants that. 126 DGS. A couple of commercials made me take note. There was this one last night where this mom, she's like maybe 35, and she's putting together a birthday party for her kids, and she's like doing mom stuff and working and like having no fun. Then they go like, but grown-ups get to have fun too. Aspen Dental. I'm like, shut Aspen Dental, kiss my ass. That's the commercial you're going to do, is that grown-ups get to have fun too based on dental insurance?
Mm-hmm.
That's crap.
Mm.
And the other thing I thought was, you know that commercial we talked about where the dog's dragging his butt across the rug and everyone's like, oh my God, oh my God. That's an amazing dog actor. Like, that's not CGI.
Right.
They somehow got that dog to duck walk his butt across that rug in front of all those other human actors.
Yeah.
He deserves some sort of award.
Yeah, you can.
How do you know he didn't get an award?
Well, maybe he did. He should.
What award would it be?
Best butt dragger.
How many times do you think it took him to do that?
He got a treat.
He's the scooter award.
Did they make his butt itch?
No. You can teach any dog
to
follow.
Oh, you can teach a wolf master. You can teach a dog to drag his butt.
Look, I've been raising my dogs for 30 years. I've taught my dogs to repeat normal behaviors by putting a word with it. So, like, I have my dog now, R2, and then the dog I had before named Max. When they get itchy faces or whatever, they will rub up against the bed. And we taught them, go wipe your face. And then they do it. And they learn the behaviors. I had a dog that would stand up on its hind legs and wave its paws. So
if you yell Dingleberry, what happens?
Well, we didn't do that one. We knew that. But, I mean, any behavior they normally do, you can connect a word and a treat to it, and then they will do it.
Did you show these guys your new profile pic?
No, I saw it. Yeah, I think I did.
Yeah, he brought it. He showed it to me.
I've been sending it to everybody I know.
It's an AI photo of him with a wolf.
Yeah, you saw it, didn't you?
And he walked over.
I'll show you.
He walked over and showed it to me and said, this is what I would look like if I was hot.
Yeah, it is.
And it is.
It is.
Dive into all things Cardinals on Cardinals Conversations, your go-to location for exclusive content from KMOX. Catch it on the Odyssey app or your favorite podcast platform. Stay connected with your team. Cardinals Conversations, where the Redbird talk never stops.
DGS. So, question: have we ruined childhood?
Yes.
I'm just thinking about my childhood and how long it lasted. It really did. Like, I was very innocent because I grew up out of town and I was a dork. Which back when I realized I was a dork, I was like, "You gotta be kidding me!" And I was really mad about it. But in hindsight, I'm really glad. Yeah. I'm glad I was an innocent dork. Well into my teens, because I had a really long childhood. Amy was just, we're talking about ChatGPT, and I've never been on it. I've never used it. I've never said, create me a movie script or an image or anything like that. But I'm, you know, intrigued by it. Of course, everyone is. And you said that like 14-year-olds are using ChatGPT to construct breakup texts with each other. And it just seems that whether by design or indifference, that we've shortened and kind of ruined our kids' childhoods. Is that overly dramatic?
Well, I mean, I don't think so. I know everybody, there will always be an aberration or someone who said, well, my childhood was not innocent because of this or that. And I get that. But when it comes to broad brushstrokes and kind of that innocence, I was very innocent. I got to be a kid for a really long time because there is a different weight when you hear, this is like how I was. And my friend, another friend of mine agreed. Some of even like the music videos or the lyrics of like, say, Nicki Minaj song or Megan Thee Stallion, right? You can say, well, rock and roll always talked about sex. Yeah, but kind of in like more shadowy terms, because I would sing it, not know what I was singing. You know what you're singing with a lot of these very vulgar, explicit terms. And if I had seen that as a kid, it really would have bothered me. I wouldn't. Young minds a lot of times don't know what to do with overly sexual or overly violent content.
You think you do. You think you're ready.
You do, but you're not ready when you're very young.
Right. I don't think that I agree it's worse now. I think kids are exposed to...
It's accessible, though, because you had to fight for a magazine.
Well, like, but it still wasn't that hard. I mean, it wasn't that difficult to get that.
Kids would find them just laying around their parents' house. Like, I mean, they were there.
Still different.
I don't know.
I mean, different, yes, but every single experience is different. I was pretty sheltered for a long time, but not as sheltered as you were. You know, I mean, I might have been sheltered from a lot of things. I mean, I went to small private Catholic schools and all that kind of stuff. But it wasn't that long before you're seeing, oh, wow, this exists and this exists. I mean, it was junior high when I first heard of people that I knew, teammates of mine and playing baseball, are drinking and smoking pot on the weekend. I was 13 years old when I found that out.
You could get a glimpse of like semi-pornographic, like little TikTok videos or whatever it may be. Every day, multiple times a day.
We had cable TV when I was 10.
Look, if we're going to say that it's that being a kid now is more difficult, the only thing really that I can think of that is more difficult is we didn't have active shooter drills. So I didn't have to go to school with that thought in the back of my mind that some...
I don't know. It seems a lot worse to me that if you did something as a kid and you screwed up or you did something embarrassing or you got caught doing something... Maybe your two best buddies found out. Maybe they told a couple of their buddies. Maybe half a dozen people were going to give you the business at school the next day. Now it could be 10,000 people overnight.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's completely different.
The bullying, the exposure to sexual content. I mean, we talked about that book, The Anxious Generation. This is all quantifiable studies across the globe. Technology is new. And with it, there are good things and there are bad things. But we finally have the technological advancements to it's actually changing developing minds and brains because they are exposed to so much more because that technology did not exist.
And I think that's different than talking about sex and violence being exposed to that. Actual cyberbullying is a much greater detriment to kids than what you're talking about. And then the thing that I mentioned with having to do active shooter drills, these are really serious things that kids have to deal with. I think in that regard, it's certainly more difficult, but we've always kind of, and I was exposed to things when I was a kid that maybe shouldn't have been exposed to, but I feel like that's just kind of life.
Like strangers in your kitchen telling you you would make a pretty little girl?
No, he said that, yes, he said I was pretty, that's exactly what, you're pretty enough to be a girl.
That'll do it.
And I thought, you know what? Many years later, creepy, but also a compliment.
I get what Amy's saying, though, because when you're exposed to the type of pornography mm-hmm. that is available on your cell phone, that is different than finding a Playboy. Mm-hmm. It's just different. And you can find extremely graphic and violent pornography. If that's your first brush with any kind of sexuality, like yep. that is going to change your brain.
Exactly. And there's a reason, too. Like I said, nothing I'm saying is anecdotal. I mean, there is data. It's quantifiable. There is in Psychology Today, doctors saying we're coming across something we've never seen, which is the first generation that can't be shocked. Their brains aren't shocked because from a very, very young age, they haven't seen at a rate that I don't care how many magazines your parents had, at a rate that we literally did not have the technological capability to sustain violence and sexual content in a way that just didn't exist before because the technology wasn't there. It's just fact.
We had three magazines, just so you know.
Some were worse than others.
Three subscriptions or three magazines?
Three total.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hey, by the way, forgive me if you've already gotten to the bottom of this, but did you know that Skibidi Toilet is a real thing?
Yeah.
Oh.
Wait, I go 14-year-olds. I mean, I hear it a lot.
Well, no, you said it. You said they say it and you didn't know what it meant.
I mean, I know it has a meaning.
No, it's a thing.
Yeah.
Apparently, it's this popular YouTube. Mm. It's very weird. It's
like
animated.
Cartoon, yeah.
Yeah, it's animated, and it kind of looks like Minecraft a little bit, but not quite.
Okay.
And it's just these human heads that come out of toilets, and they're starting, they're like an alien invasion, and they're starting a war with the planet. It's called Skibidi Toilet.
Yeah.
Is it a show?
I don't know. It's an animated series on YouTube, and there are many, many videos that I just found out about a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
It's a real thing, and I saw a couple stories written about it. They're calling it the first thing that Gen Z is saying, I don't understand it because it's too young for me.
Wow. Yeah, it's the alphas. Yeah.
That it's all Gen Alpha. That yep. like, Skibidi Toilet. Watch a couple of them and come back to me. It's
couple
super
things
weird.
That make Gen Z think the millennials are old. You know the sock controversy going on right
yes.
now?
No.
You want to tell them about it?
Gen Z wears crew socks, and they think that millennials who wear no-show ankle socks look old.
So the crew socks are the kind that come up just past your ankle.
So I have both. I don't like wearing the crew. I love the crew sock idea, but I'm kind of like stumpy. And so I feel like
you have American girl doll legs.
Yes. And so when I wear the crew socks, it's like, just like, I can't tell if I'm all thigh or all cankle, but it's not a good look. Anyway, that's my crew
sock
story.
These would be the oldest man socks of all time.
Which ones?
The crew.
It's cyclical.
See, yeah,
they're coming back.
Well, that's the thing is, like, not that long ago, the knee-high ones came back for a while, too.
Did they really? That's shocking.
Yeah.
Yeah. The crew socks, though, like, I'm trying to think of the kiddos. They're all crew. I don't think any of them have no-show.
Yeah. I got both, but whatever.
When I was a kid, it was pulled all the way up.
To the knee. Yeah. I mean, when I was a little kid, it was, yeah.
When I was a kid, we all had crew socks, but you wanted the no-show ankle socks, so you would, like, roll them down.
Yeah.
Yeah. So to see this cultural shift, it's a bit unsettling at times. But, yeah, I have both, and I wear both.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I put on my ankle socks, I'm like, well, I'm having a millennial day, I guess.
I mean, and the reality is, though, that the young generations always think anything from the older generations is old because that's what they see. I always thought everything.
Until they co-opt it, becomes
cool again.
That every generation seems to co-opt 60s and 70s hippies.
Like, for as an example, when I was a kid, I always identified. I don't know why people did it, but for generations, and you know it, the dads pulled their pants up to their chest.
Nipples. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, none of us do that. Like, it's not our generation's thing, but to them, it was no big deal. They were doing that when they were in their 20s and 30s.
How about like high waisted pants?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
like
a thing.
I have a 32-inch inseam. Back in the day, I would have bought a 38 and just pulled them up past my chest.
I do think, like, now, though, the style, you can wear so many different decades of style, and it's all in.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we've landed on, it's more like whatever looks good on your body, we're more accepting of that, whereas 15, 20 years ago, it was like, you better look like Paris Hilton or else you're going to look weird.
There was a lot more conformity to me in the way people dressed when you look back, like, when I received, like, videos from old baseball games, and everybody's got a hat and a jacket and a suit tie and a tie, and they all look like formal. And now you'll see people that are all over the place. I think that that's, I like that. I don't like the whole everybody's kind of the same
Everyone
thing.
Everyone was really racing to the same exit when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Whether it was Izod or it was popping your collar or it was pegging your jeans or whatever stupid thing that we were doing. Like, you were, everyone was looking at someone else.
Yeah.
There were very few trendsetters.
Yep.
I'm Maria Kina. This is KMOX, the voice of St. Louis.
151 DGS. You want to hear a strange little factoid I heard today? That another brick in the wall that we're living in a simulation that evidently I'm running. The Wicked Witch of the West, the actress, green faced lady, was a kindergarten teacher before she became the Wicked Witch. And one of her students was Thurston Howell from Gilligan.
What?
What?
I know.
What a class.
It's crazy, right?
That's great.
How did you... That's a random fact
I was just researching the Wicked Witch. So.
And you're like, oh yeah, look at this.
And
Mr. Howell.
And Mr. Howell. And
I just found the Venn diagram. So.
You actually had to look up that class photo, didn't you?
Crazy, right?
That's awesome.
Also, we're now saying that carbs are good. And I thought this was very interesting. So is moderate sunshine. That we have become... This was a medical article showing that MS and muscular dystrophy and things like this, the closer you get to the equator, they really shrink in per capita.
Really?
And so the farther you are away from the sun, the less sun you get, the angle of the sun, the more serious diseases and conditions you see in people. Of course, you have to worry about melanoma.
Yep.
But doctors are saying that the vitamin D that you get from vitamins is not translating, and you really need to get sunshine, and it's good for you, and don't be so afraid of the sun.
All right.
But don't you feel like this is why, again, I feel like I'll just float above all of these studies that are like, caffeine is bad. No caffeine is bad. One cup of caffeine is good. Sunshine is bad. Sunshine is all the time. No, just be smart and have moderation. But if anybody truly thought that all sunshine is bad, we didn't need experts to tell us that that's not true.
Or do we now?
I mean, no, I think it's a legit question. Like, do we need people to be reminded, you know, it's okay if you're out there under that big lamp.
I don't know how you feel about the moon, though.
Don't trust the moon.
I don't trust moonlight. The moon at moonlight. All.
No, moonlight's the best.
That's just sunlight.
Ron G does not believe that cicadas are real. He hasn't seen one.
I haven't seen one. Have you?
Not a live one.
Nope.
Nope.
Not at my house.
I think they're...
I haven't even heard them yet.
I thought someone was weed whacking like the backyard.
Really?
The
so you got them big out there, huh?
Mm-hmm. Because it was so loud.
Somebody sent us a photo and said, oh, here, look at all the... And they're just rocks.
They're not cicadas. He's been calling them roaches. Like, well, you have roaches.
They're not liars.
Hey, wonder if it's going to miss some of us or if it's just a matter of it's going to take, we're early on in the process.
Yeah, I know. Don't know. No idea.
The cicadas miss no
one. I told Amy it's like that storm last week that it was supposed to blow everything over and it was just rainy here for a while.
Ronj, in your area where you live, do you have a lot of trees? Like, is it...
Sure, I live in a neighborhood with trees.
I'm just saying.
Then I was at my mom's house.
Like, some places, it's like a forest in your backyard. Like, it's a different thing.
My mother has a yard with trees. I was there, too.
Nothing.
No cicadas.
Yeah, because there's nothing in my area. And we have little foresty areas right around there.
Did you guys see, hard left turn, that the guy that hit Paul Pelosi in the head with a hammer got 3 years? Sometimes things like that, I'm like, that's all it is? There are people I would hit in the head for a hammer and do 3 years. I mean, that's crazy. 3 years.
Three years for breaking into someone's house.
With the intent.
I figured that you'd get 3 years just for the breaking
in. I would think so, too.
And isn't there, I thought there was more attached to it being a public, well, I don't know if he's a public official, but his wife is. So it's almost like a political hit in
a
way.
Sure
shouldn't
was.
There be
he
more
was,
attached
he,
to it?
Wasn't he like believing in
yes.
all
he,
kinds of nonsense?
He was, and he was prosecuted by the DOJ. Not by the state. So it was a federal prosecution for trying to attack a federal employee and ending up attacking her husband. But I just thought 3 years, I mean.
Was it a plea?
It's a good question. I'm not sure.
It's got to be some sort of psychological thing attached to it.
Hope
right?
so.
Yeah.
Now this guy.
3 years, bro.
There's a guy that was arrested after cutting off 37 man buns in public.
Oh, no.
And his response was, I was doing God's work.
So that's actual battery, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That seems more like a 3-year kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what did he get?
This guy, I don't know.
Okay.
Was it all in one day? Or
I mean, was he mostly just on one day.
Tear?
Yeah, he was on a tear.
Had to use like, okay, it's not easy to cut hair, right? You can't just walk up and cut off a bun unless you've got really like garden shears. Is that what he was using?
I mean, yeah. That
like the scissors.
Brother seemed prepared.
Yeah, because if you had little hair scissors, it'd be like snip, snip, snip.
Yeah,
snip,
just hold. Yeah. You just wait.
Yeah,
don't move.
Kind of on that same thing. You see the people. There's still people that are getting randomly punched in the face in New York.
Steve Buscemi.
Steve Buscemi got punched in the face by some random guy for no reason.
That's in the Bible. Are you kidding me? Steve Buscemi gets sucker punched in Times Square?
What is going on with people just sucker punching
punch
each other?
Steve Buscemi?
Yeah, because they were reporting on that. NBC was this morning saying, like, overall violent crime is down, but, like, assaults and physical assaults are up in New York, like, with a lot of people just getting punched in the face.
Yeah.
There's a lot of women for a long time. And I wonder if, I don't know if it still is, but, like,
they were
the Buscemi thing got the headline. I would love for them to just punch the wrong dude, like an MMA guy who just grabs them and breaks their arms.
See you guys.